and listening. Okay, so today we're going to look at three different mitzvot. Number 38, not to covet what belongs to another. Number 40, not to build an altar of hewn stone. And number 41, not to stride by steps to the altar. The three interesting mitzvahs, yeah. Yeah. So let's start with the last two first, I think. We'll do covet.
Start with 40.
Yeah, let's start with 40 and 41. Okay. So not to build an altar of hewn stones. So this mitzvah is basically, we can just look at the text here, that we shouldn't build an altar of stones which have been touched by any instrument of metal. For it is stated, you shall not build it gazit. The term gazit applies when blocks of stone are hewn by metal tool. And if it was built of hewn stones, it's unfit for use.
They have metal tools?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. There's already swords
reading,
here.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It's
I was
already.
Just reading about the Egypt and the, mm-hmm. the pyramids, and they were talking
yeah.
about.
Oh, yeah, they were using actually
copper.
Did you see that thing on the.
Is that because you get the Smithsonian?
Yeah.
And you're reading about the Sphinx?
Yeah.
I was reading that last night, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, I was reading that. And I was thinking about.
Except that the first temple, the blocks were hewn by this little creature.
Oh, good. So for the same reason as this, right?
A creature?
Yeah,
so we'll talk about the Shamir worm in just a minute. So at the root of this precept lies the purpose that we should set firmly in our minds. This is, remember, is written before temple times, because this is Bible, right? So we should set firmly in our minds. Where did it just flew away from here? The day that the altar is made, that because of it, we will... Why doesn't it say right not to build an altar hewn of stones? Where did it go? At the root of this precept, we should set firmly in our minds, from the day that the altar is made, that because of the altar, we will be granted forgiveness of iniquity, and afterward, blessing and peace. Therefore, that this point should be remembered, we are charged not to fashion anything of it at all with instruments that were prepared for destruction. Iron, which cuts and is always ready to shed blood. I already informed you earlier that man is acted upon and influenced according to his actions and thoughts, which always follow his deeds. It is therefore fitting to have the connotations of our acts accord with their original intention. So this is an interesting sentence. If a fool, however, will grope in confusion over these words, he will neither realize nor understand this. So, so what this is saying is that the whole point of the altar is to transform us, to transform the negative within us. So what would be the point in building the altar with tools of negativity? Right? If the whole point of the altar is to bring, to help us remove negativity from ourselves, the foundation of the altar can't be negativity, even to the point of what tools one uses to build it. So even, it doesn't even say here, because it could, I mean, think about how we do things Jewishly, it could say that the tools that are used, the metal tools, have to never have been used for destruction.
Right.
Never have been used for slaughter.
Right,
the tool itself.
It had to have been toivled.
Right, it has to be, right. It could have been, I mean, there could be a whole ritual process by which the tool is made. Right, but there's not. It's even more than that. You can't use that tool. So how do you make it?
Because those in the temple, they were Herodian stones with that carve out.
Okay, so you're thinking about the retaining wall.
Oh, okay.
Because you never saw the temple.
It's the altar. Right?
No, not it's the temple itself.
The temple itself.
No, it says not to build.
Here is
altar.
The altar. This mitzvah is the altar.
Okay.
But the temple itself
can be made of human.
No, can't be.
Can't be.
No, the whole temple itself can't be either. So the stones that you have seen,
those are just from the
are
wall.
Just the Herodian retaining wall stones, because we've never seen
the temple
stones,
right.
Right? We just saw the stones that hold the hill that held the temple.
Gotcha.
And the steps that went up to the hill.
Right, but not the temple.
Not the temple.
We haven't seen pieces of the temple.
So
itself.
They haven't found,
they
haven't found
wall.
Any of the pieces.
They may have found those pieces, but it's not something
that... It would be underground level now.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Why would it be underground level now?
Because so much is built on top of it. It's like a tell. Now
it is like a tell.
They excavated down.
They have excavated down.
Yeah, I'm sure they found pieces.
The wall is under the wall that you see where the doors have been plugged up that face the Mount of Olives. Okay, the original arches, you can see, if you dig down a little bit, you can see the original top of the original arches. Mm-hmm. That went, that's how much that has built up.
But they have excavated down
here. They have excavated. So the first temple probably is under all that stuff. Because this wall, the Herodian wall that we see, is the retaining wall for enlarging.
Would some of those stones be somewhere that we might have seen them?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying we probably haven't. Mm-hmm. We, the Jewish people, we, including our archaeologists, probably have seen First Temple stones.
Gotcha.
I'm just guessing that we at this table haven't, because we at this table have been to the Kotel.
Right.
Yeah, so maybe in the Jewish museum you might have seen something like that. Yeah,
I think
it's possible that in a museum we've seen it. But in when we are thinking about thinking about the wall and we're thinking about how they're dressed, that's not part of the temple. That's a Herodian edifice to enlarge in the surface of the hill so that a larger temple could be built there.
Right.
So this mitzvah is just about the altar. So because there were altars made, and there is a mishkan made, and so this is just its own separate principle here of not using hewn stone for the altar itself. But it did stretch out to, and then we'll see if we see a mitzvah later on about how to build the temple, but not using the hewn stone. So, and so here there's laws, and the laws are in, it's interesting where the laws are. So that's why we have the where and where else. So the where, the first is where do we see this mitzvah in Exodus 20:22. But where else, which is fascinating, look in the third paragraph, these and its further details are explained in the Talmud tractate Midot. How interesting is that? Right? So this is about a midah. This is not about... That's what it's saying here. If you find the information in Talmud tractate Midot, it means it's not really about how you build, it's about how you build yourself. Right? Which is what he's saying. At the root of this precept lies the purpose that we should set firmly in our minds that because of the altar we will be granted forgiveness of iniquity and afterward blessing and peace. And therefore you can't have a vehicle that brings you to this be built of injury and harm, because it brings one to wholeness. So even if you're thinking about brings one to wholeness, peace, shalom, shalem, wholeness, right? So you can't use a knife, which his whole job is to cut apart, right? Even if it's not to slaughter, its job is to cut. And yet the stones somehow have to be cut, right? So I think in this case, hewn stones, so I don't know exactly how you build this particular thing. Do you have to find one whole stone? But we know for the temple, for instance, how the stones were cut was with that little worm, the Shemir worm. And there's a whole... And so the question is that true? I don't know the answer, if it's really true. Because it's a midrash, it's not... Right, so what we do know, and King Shlomo had to find it. Shlomo is the one who built the first temple. So we have stories, and from midrashic stories, we have to learn principles. Sometimes the midrash story is true, and sometimes not. So I'll give you, for instance, here, and I'm not saying I know for sure. So the story is that King Solomon had to find the worm. There is a fabled worm, the Shemir worm, that could cut the stones. How is he going to find it? A certain bird was in charge of where it was, knew the secret of where it was hidden, but the bird wasn't revealing the secret. So how is he going to get in? He knew the animals. He knew the language of animals, King Solomon. He was blessed with wisdom, the wisest of all men. He was actually appointed king at age 12. His father was dying, and he was appointed king at age 12. And then shortly after he was appointed king, God appeared to him in a dream and said, "What would you like? What blessing would you like to be able to continue your life path?"